This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
First of all, hello.
Hello.
Is it me? I feel like we start every time with that song.
You know why? Because we do.
We do. I think we do. Yeah. I'm in Palm Desert right now, but I was at the camper, but had to come here to do the podcast, to send the file, to do all the technical shit. But we decided to do some camping, and it's always hit or miss with a camp spot, right? Usually you hit. This was a bit of a miss. You know, I could hit a 7-iron to Denny's. Okay. So I can see the freeway. It's, you know, it's a little bit of a dirt pile, but, you know, we're in the trailer and there's campfires going. And what more can you ask for, I guess?
Here's what I'm not totally clear on. So you're close enough to run back to a home.
Yes.
A luxury home.
Yes.
But you're camping near a Denny's to get the outdoor experience of sitting around a fire?
Yes. Yes. You pretty much hit it on the head. We didn't know that there was going to be a Denny's there. When you go on to these hip camps or these
Is that a bad thing?
I had a bad experience at Denny's in college.
But I'm just saying, in a pinch, you know, it's not like you're out. It's not like you're McCandless in Alaska.
No.
You know, with the magic bus up there for months on end and die of starvation. If you need to go get a Grand Slam breakfast, it's right down the hill.
Yeah, I'm more of like a moon over my hammy kind of guy. But no, but when you're camping, you're out in the most beautiful places and you're away from everything. We thought this was going to be that. When you are on these websites and they show you the pictures, they're not showing you what's behind them. Everything is looking out into the vista. And you're like, this looks pretty. I don't know. Let's check it out. There's goats and there's this and there's that. And then you get there and you're like, oh, shit. Okay. Well, here we are.
You know what other entity does that same kind of picture framing?
Hmm.
Denny's.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that breakfast looks amazing. And it's 3 a.m. and you're about to throw up in your lap. And you're like, I just need to eat something. And then, it just does not come out the way McDonald's, all these places.
No.
And I can say all these places because they're not going to advertise with us.
You know, hey,
the pictures, you never know. This is brilliant photography. Really nothing against the product. It shows the excellence of the person with the camera in his or her hand to actually make these things look like that. Now, look, I'll eat McDonald's all day long. I haven't had it in a while. I'm not against it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll eat Denny's all day long, but it just doesn't look exactly as they pretend it
looks. Well, those burgers are not even edible. I mean, there's glycerin all over them, you know, to make them look shiny.
Ones.
The photograph ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't even eat those fucking things. You'll die.
Same with, I've done beer commercials where they have like a DP, a photographer put a straw down into the beer to constantly give it some bubbles and give it like a presentable head, as they say, so that it looks like, oh my God, they just poured that beer. That looks amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's glistening, dripping down with, and that's not even,
it works,
it's warm.
That advertising works. When I see those like cold, we need Coors Light to do us, to do our show. You know, because I drink a ton of
freezing.
Coors Light. Yeah, freezing Coors Light. Ugh, love it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm in St. Louis, so I'm partial to Anheuser-Busch, but anybody coming to us with the checkbook out,
I'm a Colorado guy, so I got Coors and your Busch. It's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just did Seth Meyers' late night show.
Oh, how was it?
It's good. Have you done an appearance on a show like that in the new world?
No.
Where you're doing it over Zoom?
No. Yes. I did. I did Andy Cohen.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
It's just, it's infinitely harder because if you're in the room with somebody, other than you and me,
mm-hmm.
but if you're in the room with somebody, you can kind of play off one another. And here there's just that little bit of delay and I'm trying to do jokes and I just followed John Oliver, you know, onto the program and I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to come out guns blazing.
Yeah.
And so I'm firing stuff at him and I think it was good, but I have no real sense. Like I've done all the shows now, except for Kimmel, who's the one guy I know the best on the whole list.
Yeah.
But you know, when you do those shows, Conan or whatever, you get a sense when you walk off like, okay, that was good.
Yep.
I have no idea as I just hung up with him and did the leave meeting on
Did you have any good? Did you have any written jokes? Meaning, did you come in sort of with some prepared stuff?
No, I think the probably the one that I talked about how I got offered to do porn voiceover.
Yeah.
Talked about that. Talked about how close I was with my dad, that he was my best friend, mm-hmm. and then said that now that I think about it, probably explains why I didn't lose my virginity till I was 18.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. And, you know, it's those kind of tosses here. This is not like... And he's like in love with John Oliver, so they're giggling, and then I'm getting a laugh, but I don't know Seth that well, so I did my best. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, it's so hard nowadays to do talk shows and be funny. The timing of it is so important, and the feeling of, you know, the energy that you're feeling from the host of the show, and knowing where to go, and you know what to do, left or right. These things happen in person over Zoom. I can imagine. I can't even imagine. It's hard, but I do love John Oliver. I think he's funny.
He just became an American citizen.
Oh, really?
Which I didn't know. Yeah. So they were celebrating that this would be his first Thanksgiving as an American citizen. So, you know, I follow that. I made a Fred Sanford reference because he referenced it earlier mm-hmm. in his monologue, and he said it's for the kids. All the kids are talking about Fred Sanford. And
you should have said that you became a UK citizen.
I should have.
Yeah.
I and that my American accent is way more believable than John Oliver's. These are things that are going through my head that while it's happening in real time, and then all of a sudden you're on a Zoom call with somebody on a late night network TV show, and it's just, and then I realize that as I have this first button undone, my son. Cancerous thing that I got removed from my chest is in the exact shape of the state of Louisiana.
Oh yeah, look at that.
Isn't that weird?
Was that cancerous?
Pre-cancer stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna make it out to be bigger than it was, but when they slice that off and then it's you know, they
I gotta go get mole checks. Like, I need to do one because I got some moles. You know what I mean? It's important to go do that. It's weird though, because you know, you can get cancer, you can get moles anywhere. So I get on the table and totally naked, and they're like lifting up my balls, and I mean, looking in weird places where I'm like, whoa, turn over on my front, and they're like opening my butt cheeks. I'm like, oh god, okay. And I'm like, well, you never know. I mean, you can have a melanoma in your like on your butthole.
I'm just gonna let that sit there for a second. Hey, yeah, but they know who they're dealing with. I mean, that's just good medical care. If they're on your Instagram, or I could send your doctor videos you've sent me mm-hmm. of you on a picnic table, completely naked, except for boots and a hat, in the brilliant sunshine of Colorado, they should be checking every inch of you see if you have any sun damage.
I dig it. But you know, one time my dermatologist, because I've had like multiple dermatologists, I've never had like one person. And I was going to one of Aaron's best friend's dad was a dermatologist, and I went to him for a few years, and he's the one who like did a thorough inspection. Some of them don't, But he went, right. He went full on, dude. I mean, he looked inside of me for moles.
Right. And came up empty?
Came up empty, you know. Yeah, came up empty. So far, so good. But I'm
wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you, man.
You've already had one health scare this year, and we don't need another.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't even a scare. It was like a... I don't even know what the hell that was.
But just so you know, while you were waiting for results...
Yeah.
By the time you stepped into that elevator and they pulled you off the elevator to say, hey, look, you got to come back here.
Yeah.
I had already put a call into your brother Wyatt to see if he wanted to do this podcast with me going forward.
He'd be great. Or playing in the member guest with you. He's replacing me.
He just slide right in.
Yeah. By the way, I played golf with him. He hasn't played golf in 100 years. That kid hits the fucking ball like you can't believe. He has ball speed and swing speed that is so crazy to watch. Now, it goes all over the place. Although his irons and stuff, you know, are pretty good. He went to Roger Dunn because he kind of got the bug a little bit to go get set up for clubs and loft lies and shafts and the whole thing. About 10 minutes into his warm-up session, you know, he had half the store surrounding the bay watching his numbers because they were like Brooks Koepka numbers, DJ numbers as far as swing speed, ball speed. It's fucking crazy. And he's not even swinging it hard. I mean, I'm like, are you going after it? He's like, no. Crazy.
Man. That's so frustrating to me.
I know.
Want that so badly. I really do.
I know.
But he's an athlete. He played what? He
played pro hockey, yeah.
Yeah, but in like Finland or something.
My boy.
Right?
My main man, Wyatt.
Where did he play?
I love him, man. I love that kid so much.
Where did he play?
He played at UAH in New Hampshire, in Alabama. He played pro hockey in Holland and Germany.
Holland.
Yeah. And then he played in Canada. He played juniors in Canada and all that. What's up with Thanksgiving? Are you guys doing Thanksgiving? Ours got all blown up. We're not even doing Thanksgiving together, the family.
Because they all feel like they're more important on the COVID scale than you, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, probably. Look, I welcome it. Can I be honest? Like, I'm happy.
Don't say that.
No, it's nice.
Welcome being alone, being by yourself.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're in the desert. It's so beautiful out here. We've got our camper. We might go camp in Joshua Tree or do something else. Hold on.
What?
Oh, you're leaving?
Yeah.
Okay. Love you. That was my wife, everyone. That was Aaron Hudson.
Be honest, is that the first time she said to you, I'm leaving?
No. She's said that twice before.
Okay, so you make camp in Joshua Tree, which is an album for you too. That's all I know what that is.
At the end of the day, it's another dinner. It's not going to be the big Thanksgivings that we usually have with friends and family. That is really celebratory. And we go around the table and say the things that we're thankful for. And everyone cries for the most part. There's definitely tears because, you know, people open up about the year. And it's beautiful. I love the day. But it's just not going to be like that. So we decided Mom and Pa will do their thing. We're going to do our thing. Kate's going to do her thing. Wyatt's going to do his thing. And we'll have dinner later on. But... it's nice. I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it.
Well, since you asked me, I'm going to be in Arlington, Texas, doing the Cowboys and the Washington football team.
Oh. Wow.
I have to work on Thanksgiving so that relatives at parties in typical years don't have to talk to one another. I assume that's why there are major sporting events on holidays, because when families converge and get on top of one another, they like the distraction of being able to talk about something like the Cowboys and Washington playing on Thanksgiving.
I know. But by the way, the football, Thanksgiving football, is so nostalgic for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people. And it gets me excited, even though they're games I don't really give a shit about, or my fantasy players aren't in them. There's something just about Thanksgiving football.
Here's the thing I'm going to admit to you right now. Washington changed their team name.
Yeah.
And I get it. I'm glad they did.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, as somebody who's been broadcasting professional football since 1994,
mm-hmm.
and here we are, you know, over 25 years later, now they have a new name. The old name is a hot button topic. The new name is just football team. So for somebody like me that's been conditioned in high pressure situations to go to a specific, you've got little jumping off points and getting to the right score before the break or getting to a point that you want to make, and you throw these team cities in, but you also throw the team nickname in. I am going to have index cards all over the monitor, all over the booth. It's going to say Washington football team. And I'm trying my best to take their old team name, somehow lift that part of my memory and just flush it down the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't want it to come out. If it does, it will be just an honest mistake because this is my first game doing them since the name change. They haven't moved cities. It's not like the Rams are back in LA or the Cardinals are in the desert in Arizona. And first it was Phoenix. They used to be St. Louis. So you have to jump through all these mental hoops. I'm telling you right now, one day ahead of when I'm going to be actually doing the game,
mm-hmm.
this will air on that day. If it happens, it's done because I'm dumb. I made a mistake.
You're preemptively apologizing. You just say you're sorry. Just say it now.
I'm sorry.
Okay. There, we did it.
I'm sorry.
He's sorry. What about Troy? How's Troy going to fare?
I don't know. Not too good. He's thrown it out there already once and then immediately corrected himself. I think if it comes out of your mouth, it'll just, the bells will go off. But in this case, in live TV, the bells have to go off before it comes out of your mouth. So, you know, it's just hard because you don't want to be repetitive. I don't want to say the same word over and over again, and it's odd to call a team football team.
Yeah. What if you just
at the end of the half, Oliver, it's the Dallas Cowboys, or you just forget Dallas. It's the Cowboys 17 football team 14.
You should do that. Just say football team instead of Washington football team.
It's hard. It's hard. I can't wrap my head around it, and I don't want to blow it, and I don't want to walk away from that stadium like, ugh. Yeah.
I think you're going to be fine. Here's what I think you're going to do. I think that from a unconscious place of protecting yourself, you're just not going to say them. You're not going to say the team as much as you normally would. You're going to unconsciously avoid it, or maybe even consciously avoid having them in your sentences one way or another, you know, except for moments like what you're saying. You know, at the end of the half, it's Dallas Cowboys da, 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 and the Washington football team. Da, da, da.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to say full name, Dallas Cowboys, Washington football team, because football team cannot stand alone. You know what I mean?
It can't just be like,
hey, at the end of the, it's the Cowboys 17 and the Jets 10.
Yeah.
No, you can't do that.
I think you should just say it's the Cowboys 17 and the football team 14. That's kind of good.
Okay.
The football team.
The football team. The football. As opposed to the Dallas football team.
Exactly. It's
that
just
they're
the football team. Right. But it's the Cowboys.
They're all football teams.
The Cowboys or the Jets or the Rams or the Raiders and the football team.
Right. Even though they're all...
They're all football teams.
Really, they're all football teams.
But they are the... They are the football team. They are the premier. That's probably how they, you know, see themselves.
Yeah, but then that brings in the bias that we always talk about, you know? Hey, if they're the football team. They're not the. They're the. You're talking about a football team. You're talking about, you're talking about the football team?
The
football team. Yeah.
Don't you do those games all the time? Like, have you had Thanksgiving with your family in 20 years or?
Well, here's the thing. Every other year, so like last year was Detroit.
Right.
But they're always the early game. So I can get back from Detroit. It's close to St. Louis. I can get back at, let's say, 5.
Yeah.
The game's early. And so now I'm going to be in Dallas. The game's at 3:30. I'm going to try to get home. I'll probably be home about 9, somewhere in there, maybe a little before. And Michelle will have cooked dinner for the two of us. So like you, except it won't be around a campfire or near any Denny's as far as I'm aware.
Mm-hmm.
It will just be the two of us. Boys will be asleep. And we can actually have kind of a date night on Thanksgiving.
That's nice.
I will really look forward to while I'm doing the game.
That's nice.
Yes.
Yeah, because
I'm off this weekend.
The boys don't give a shit about Thanksgiving anyway. I mean, they're you know, they don't. It's not even a thing. So make it about you and Michelle.
Yes, we will. And her dad has been in town every other year, but because of the spikes in the COVID cases, we're not rolling those dice. So it's just us. And that is, I said it, but I mean it. Like, that's a good feeling to have the game and have then that to look forward to when I get home, like exhale, because it's been a while since I have had some days off and I'm going to enjoy them.
That's good. Well, I'm going back to work December 16th. I think we can start shooting, but I gotta, you know, get all my prep going and the hair and the makeup and the table reads and all that stuff. There's a kid in the show who has yet to be cast or had yet to be cast, and he would play my nephew, so my sister's brother. My son, Bodie Hudson, auditioned for it twice. They really loved him. Then they made a test deal for him. And he tested for the studio, and then he tested for the network. And we just got the call today that that little fucker got the job.
What?
Yeah. So he is a series regular on my new show, which is just a pilot at this point. Hopefully we get picked up.
And this is, which one did you say? I'm sorry, Wilder or Bodie?
Bodie.
Okay.
My middle.
My God, that's unbelievable.
It's crazy, man. It's
that should have been minute one of this thing.
I can't believe it, you know. And look, nepotism is always real. You know, it's always there to get your foot in the door for the most part. Other times they just give you the whole enchilada. But, you know, I think in the movie business where you have to have talent, you can't just, you know, give people things. Now, he was able to audition, obviously, because of me, but he did it. I mean, he fucking did it. He went up against three other kids that were all like professional actors, have been doing it since they were born, basically. And this is the first time Bodie's ever read lines. But he's just so natural and charming and cute. And that was what they said. They were like, he's just so natural. Like he's very real. He's not sitcom-y, hitting the jokes. And that's how we went about, you know,
did you prep him for it? Oh, you did.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So here's what I would say to what you just said. There is no doubt that there is a lot of nurture involved in performing, but there is a lot, if not more, nature involved, and I really believe that. So I came as a product of my mom and my dad, who were both performers. This kid comes out of the genetic factory of, I mean, actor upon actor, performer upon performer, athlete upon athlete. I mean, his genetic makeup, there's something in there. And then you add to that the other layer of having been around it. He's not in awe. So if you took some kid off the street and you brought him in front of all those lights and, you know, you got to walk out here and deliver a line, it's different than for somebody who's at least seen it and been around it with his dad and his aunt and his grandma and his grandpa and all that. So, man, that's the best news I've heard in a long time.
It's so cool. It's just so cool. And he's just so chill. You know, I mean, he's excited. I told him the news. We're on the putting green out here. And I told him, you know, and he goes, what? He's like, yeah, and like gave us a hug and he was excited. And then he's off like, you know, putting again with his brother and their friend, just sort of having putting competitions. Like,
are you worried that Wilder is going to be jealous of his brother?
You know, I thought about this, and I asked him like a couple nights ago, honestly. I just said to him, I said, hey, man, you know, all this stuff could be happening for Bodie, and I just want to make sure that you're good. I know it can be tough. You know, it's like, oh, shit, my little brother is getting all this and doing all that. And he said no. He's like, no. And I believe him, but I think there's probably a little part that stings, you know, just a little bit. But he's cool. There's not a lot of jealousy. I think there's more of like, oh, I wish I could do that. But there's no resentment and no anger.
Right.
And I might just have one more talk with him, but shit, man, you know. That's life. I think he's fine, but it's a good question that you ask, because I've been thinking about that, whether or not it's going to affect him in some way.
It would be natural. It'd be normal for it to affect him, especially when he gets to like a million Instagram followers. after
Bodie, he's not having Instagram. I'm not getting him fucking Instagram. Not a chance. But Wilder did after he got it. He goes, that's awesome. Da-da-da. And he goes, Bodie, you're buying me whatever I want. You know that, right?
Right.
That's what he said. He goes, you're buying me whatever skateboards I want. You know that. And Bodie's like, and Bodie was like, yeah.
Oh my God. What are you going to do with his money? Are you going to be rat holing it like all these other Hollywood
I'm thinking
kid
about
actors?
I'm thinking about, you know, doing some real estate investing with it. I honestly don't know. I don't know how it all works. I mean,
Bodie LLC. What is he? I mean, does he get union minimum, or does he have to join a union at the age of?
He's going to join SAG. He's fucking getting health insurance. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh my God. You're going to start. This is going to be like Honey Boy, and you're going to be like trotting this kid all
like
over the country.
Like Honey Boo Boo?
No, Honey Boy. The
Shia LaBeouf.
What's the guy's name? Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah,
which is a great movie. We've talked about it on this before. But you're going to be like the guy driving him to gigs and then taking the cash from the director at the end of the day, and you know, buying him cigarettes when he's 12.
Well, this is all new to me. I mean, you know, the kids always say they want to be actors. Of course they do, because their dad is an actor and their mother was an actor and their aunt and their brother and their uncle and their grandpa. I mean, you know, they don't have much of a choice. But I didn't think that this would happen this soon. Bodie's never read lines before until now. If this show goes and then gets canceled and now he's become sort of a commodity of sorts, or a kid who has been in a show and people are asking him to audition or whatever it is, I'm not sure how I'm going to handle that. I don't know if we keep going with it, or I say, all right, we did our one thing and now you do school and, you know, have your life. And then when you're 18 or when you graduate, then we can get into the business. If in fact, that's what you still want to do. I'm not sure I want him to be on set throughout his high school, middle school years.
Yeah.
You lose so much, man. Those were fun, important years for me.
I mean, for me, I'm 51. Think about the cast of Different Strokes. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Dana Plato.
Yeah.
Todd Bridges.
Crushing
still
it.
Crushing. And the one that's alive, Gary Coleman.
Yeah. Didn't Todd, Danny wasn't Cooksey. Todd like doing crack or something like that?
Oh, I mean, yeah. But they are set up in a weird world. And that's in the 80s. Think about now with the instant fame. And all of a sudden, that kid's not going to be like that. But you just have to see how it is. Maybe he loves it. Maybe he doesn't enjoy it. Maybe you can only find that out once you start doing it. But that's what a great opportunity.
Nah, it's been fun. I think just on a whole other level, father-son stuff, it's going to be special for us to go to work together every day, work with each other, me help him out, me stand back.
I mean,
back.
What's his commitment? He's going to be there every day?
Yeah, dude. It's a sitcom. So the way it works is it's, you know, 5 days a week. You're there with the whole cast rehearsing. And if you're not in a scene, you know, you're just hanging out in your dressing room or whatever. And then, you know, so a sitcom is cool because you're together the whole time. And so he'll come to work with me every day because everyone's call time is the same always. And it's just going to be a memorable experience.
Oh my God.
For the two of us. Whatever happens, even if it's just for the pilot, even if we don't get picked up, you know, it's still going to be amazing. Just for the for our memories, it's very cool. I'm super pumped.
Hey, did you see the movie Judy, about Judy Garland?
No.
I suggest you watch that before you drag your little boy onto set. I can't sleep, and they think I'm fat, and I'm gonna. Here's a bucket of pills. Go lay down in the corner. We'll get you in an hour. Thanks.
Well, I'm there to keep that little bastard in line. He's not like that. That's not the kind of kid he is at all, though, you know. But it's also an interesting thing for me. It's going to be a big lesson for me, or there's going to be a learning curve anyway, because I'm going to have to pull myself out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to want to control him in the best way, meaning help him out with scenes and direct him and say, well, try this or try that. But I need to let our director, Mark, take care of that. And then I can step in if he wants me to. But I need to let this play out.
You may even have to leave the room.
I can't do that. No way.
Why?
I got to watch that little dude.
John Madden. I know. But John Madden talks about the legendary Hall of Fame coach, talks about how parents should watch their kids in sporting events from the back row of the bleachers.
Yes.
And just be quiet.
Yes.
And it's going to be difficult. I mean, you're going to be more nervous watching him than you are doing your own stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But you're going to have to divorce yourself from the process at some point. Just let him be. That was the best thing my dad did for me, and I'm not making this about me, but when I followed him into his business, he never micromanaged anything I did. In fact, he really stayed away and let me find my own way. And I think in his mind, that was, hey, we're going to find out if this kid really likes being a broadcaster. We're going to find out if he's any good. And we're going to see him fail from time to time and see how he handles that. And mm-hmm. you're going to have to get that, you know, into your head as best you can. It's not going to be easy.
Oh, yeah. And that's part of the process for me, too, is you know, letting him do whatever it is that he does and having other people tell him what to do. And here's how to do the scene. The first show that I ever did, the first time I was ever on screen, almost even before I wanted to be an actor, I didn't want to be an actor growing up. I mean, at all. I wanted to make movies. That's what I did with my friends. My sister was an actress and she was doing plays and I was making movies. I didn't even want to be an actor, but I said, oh God, I left college after 2 years. I did a film school at SC for just a semester, just a workshop. And I was like, what the fuck am I going to do? I tried modeling for a second and hated that. And then I everyone's acting. I guess I'll just be an actor. And then it took a while for me to actually get serious about it. My first job I ever had was on a movie called Out of Towners, and it was with my mom, and I played her son. And it was one scene, and she's saying, you know, telling me.
Is that with Steve Martin?
Yeah, it was Steve Martin. And she's saying goodbye to me. I'm going off to college or whatever. And the director would cut, and then she'd come up to me and give me some direction on how to do the scene. I'm like, okay. And then the director would come up to me after and tell me a completely different way. And I was like, who the fuck do I listen to? Like, my mommy or the director?
Right. I'd say I'd defer to the director.
I split the difference. That's why it sucked.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to not be your mom in that case and let this guy, Mark or whatever his name is,
Mark, handle it. Yeah, no. And then I'll step in from time to time if they want me to, whatever. It's going to be really fun. I'm super excited.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah, man.
Well, I'm glad we did this. I'm glad you saved that for the big reveal on the podcast. That's big time.
Yeah. I know. I was debating saying it or not because it hasn't been released in the press yet or anything like that. I don't know if it will be, but I said, fuck it. Who cares?
Hey, this is our domain.
This is our domain. We do what we want, man.
I've already apologized for a mistake I'm not going to make on national TV tomorrow, and you've just told the world that your son is going to be a Disney kid.
Aaron's going back.
Aaron's going back to the trailer right now.
Aaron, can you run down to Denny's and get me some bacon?
Denny's. I told him, like, there's a Denny's, like, you know, like, right by our campsite. Yeah, and a Target, right?
Oh, good. Just sit in the camping section at Target.
We could just camp in the tents there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I right. love
that. Why? I mean, it's a lot easier cleanup. You can just go in there.
That's a good idea, actually. It's like, what was that? Remember that movie Opportunity Knocks?
Yeah, I remember that title. I don't remember anything about it.
Nah, forget about it. Jennifer Connelly was in it.
Oh, where they're in the store? She's like a mannequin?
Yeah.
No, that's
Mannequin. By the way, that was a great
Mannequin. But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But I think that's they get locked in the store overnight and have a whole escapade.
They fall in love.
Yeah. But Mannequin. God, I remember Mannequin.
Yeah.
We should remake that with you as the mannequin.
Yeah, I like that.
And I'm
sunspot right on my chest as a mannequin.
Yeah, and I'm I'll be the guy, you know, and you're my mannequin.
Okay.
And we fall in
love. You can dress me.
Yeah.
You can dress me in different outfits for the different seasons.
Yes. It's
and I'll just come alive at night.
Yeah.
And then we'll host a podcast together.
Right. Well, you can also broadcast games and only night games though.
Right. Then I have to return to being a mannequin.
Yes. I think we have gold.
Hey, that honey, doesn't that look like the guy that just called the Washington football team against the Dallas Cowboys? Boy, what a good looking scarf he's got on.
That was a good practice you just did.
Yeah.
For the Washington football team.
All right. Well, we said we were gonna do a quick one.
We'll do a shorty. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody who's listening to this. I know it's a different kind of a Thanksgiving. Stay safe. What?
Yes. I'm going to ask you some trivia that Margo put together for us.
Okay. Okay.
Ready? What team has the longest winning streak in NBA history?
That's got to be I can't think of the Steph Curry. I can't. What the fuck's the team is he on?
Golden State Warriors? No. The LA Lakers.
Really?
What is a group of turkeys called?
It's a murder of crows, a gaggle of geese. I don't know. What is it? Flock?
A rafter of turkeys.
Never would have got that. Did you know
that? A rafter of turkey? I don't know.
Did you know that?
No, hell no. How long did the first Thanksgiving celebration last?
6 years.
Very close. 3 days.
Yeah.
And two more.
Okay.
What is the wobbly red piece of flesh on top of the beak of a turkey called?
The weenus.
A snood. And finally, something near and dear to your heart.
Yeah.
What decade was the green bean casserole, a Thanksgiving staple in many households, first created?
1950s.
Yes!
Woo!
We have ended on a wiener.
We ended on a wiener.
We got some good questions from listeners too. So we'll do those next week. We wanted to keep this short and sweet because it's Thanksgiving. And I'm giving thanks for my friendship to Oliver, with Oliver, and for daddy issues and all that have been involved and will be involved going forward.
Beautiful. And I'm giving thanks to my wonderful, forever blossoming friendship with Joe Buck. It just gets deeper and deeper. The more we fight, the deeper it gets. I'm excited to see you in person. And I am grateful for this podcast and grateful to all the listeners who are supporting us. We love you. Have a great Thanksgiving. Be safe. Get it on.